Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Tulane SOPA, the Tulane School of Professional Advancement, offering online programs designed for working professionals who want to earn a certificate, complete their degree, or begin their graduate studies. Professional advancement begins at sopa.tulane.edu.
From Nola Pizza in the Nola Brewing Tap Room on Chappatoula Street in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricciuti, Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and director of the award-winning Birkenrode Reports. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricciuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. There are sayings in the English language that employ literal terms that have no literal meaning. For example, when we describe something as black and white, we mean it's obvious, not that there are literally a black object and a white object. When we say something's open and shut, we're suggesting it's inarguable, not that anything is literally open and shut, which, when you think about it, is physically impossible. It's the same with above and beyond. When we say something has gone above and beyond, we mean it's exceeded our expectations. Whether or not my lunch guest today or their business exceed your expectations will depend on your personal expectations, but what makes them unique is that they literally go above and beyond. Let's start with above. One of the many things tourists and a few locals do in New Orleans is go on a swamp tour. This typically entails sitting in a boat that chugs through the swamp with a tour guide who tosses bits of chicken and marshmallows overboard to attract alligators. Tyler Richardson took a look at an 8-acre block of Maurepas Swamp near La Place and decided to go above it. Tyler built the world's first only aquatic swamp zip line. It's called Zip Nola. It's a half-mile, 90-minute zip line journey on 5 separate zip lines over 2 suspension sky bridges tethered to 100-year-old cypress trees. And Tyler Richardson welcomed out to lunch.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ernie Fondas is the co-owner, along with partner Adrian Bell, of Sui Generis. Sui Generis is a Latin term meaning in a class of its own. But in this case, it's a restaurant in the Bywater. What puts Sui Generis in a class of its own is that it stretches beyond the walls of the restaurant, beyond the city of New Orleans, and beyond the state of Louisiana, into Pearlington, Mississippi. In Pearlington, Ernie and Adrian have a farm where they can use a German horticulture technique that layers logs, twigs, and leaves on the forest floor to create a rich soil in which they grow crops for restaurant ingredients. Now, back in the Bywater, Sui Generis Kitchen is organized around a culinary philosophy called food evolution. It's a technique that uses every single piece of an ingredient, using the byproduct of one dish to create another. For example, using discarded crawfish shells to make bisque, and then using the byproduct of the bisque to make fish sauce. Chef, horticulturist, farmer, and restaurateur Ernie Fondas, welcomed out to lunch.
Thank you, I'm glad to be here.
Tyler, I understand you were inspired to build Zip Nola after experiencing zip lines in the Dominican Republic. It's one thing to have a great idea like that, it's a whole other thing to actually do it. You have a varied background that includes working in the petrochemical industry, starting a fishing charter business, and developing that into a swamp tour business. So I see the path that led you to the swamp, but getting above the swamp, that's where the whole other thing comes in. How did you know how to build a zip line?
In all actuality, there's actually companies that do build zip lines. It's their focal point of their business. So I just got into a rabbit hole just online searching, and it led me across Adventure Experiences, a company out of Texas that builds zipline and adventure courses. And I kind of brought them a crazy idea of, hey, let's build one in the swamp. And they didn't say no. So here we are.
Didn't say no is a lot like yes.
It is. It certainly is.
I have to ask you, when you built it, were you the first person to try it out?
I was the first person to try it out. Yeah, so that was a little nerve-wracking because we didn't quite have all the equipment that we needed, but we were at that point about a year into construction, and it was time. We needed to get out there and experience it for ourselves.
Ernie, most businesses, including restaurants, are looking to cultivate repeat customers. Repeat customers are typically driven by consistency. If you go to McDonald's for a Big Mac, you want it to taste like the Big Mac you had last time. At a farm-to-table restaurant, it's different. The menu is driven by what's fresh and available. At your restaurant, Sui Generis, it seems like there's yet another element of surprise for diners. Your philosophy of food evolution leads you to create dishes that are experimental. So I would imagine your repeat customer is someone who is looking for the exact opposite experience of the McDonald's meal. Rather than looking for something predictably consistent, they're looking for something adventurous, new, and different. Are there enough of these kind of diners in the general New Orleans population, or is your market more a cult of foodies?
So yes, the answer is yes. I think there are enough of those type of diners in New Orleans. The interesting thing about our concept is it attracts the people that are looking for the unusual, because, you know, pretty much every other restaurant in town has the same menu, and, you know, people can count on, they know they can go back to that menu for the, you know, Eggs Benedict or whatever it is that they're going to get there. But at our restaurant, people come in because they know it's a different restaurant every week, essentially, with a whole new menu based on what we grow at the farm and unusual techniques that we apply to the food, too. So we found that not only does it create more regulars for us, our regulars come back multiple times a week because they know the menu item on the menu that week is not going to be around after this weekend, so they'll come back multiple times to try the whole menu.
Now, I would think that this kind of arrangement would make it more difficult for a chef. Does that lead to poor retention, or am I not looking at this right?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because, you know, to work at my restaurant, you really do have to be a chef who's interested in learning and challenging yourself. In traditional restaurant model, you cook the same food every day. So you come in, punch the clock, cut your onions, you know, the same way every week, do everything to try to achieve consistency. But in my restaurant, it's about learning every week. So we try to attract the people who want to learn and push the envelope.
And Tyler, I would think you'd be a little bit in the opposite situation employment-wise, because these people have to be trained, and so you've got some money invested in them. I think there was an association for not zip line, but
challenge courses.
So it would be very expensive for you to lose people frequently.
It is pretty expensive, you know, per se. We do have our core group that's been with us from the beginning. We certainly make sure that it's a fun environment. You know, obviously they're paid well, but I think the fun environment first and foremost is something that kind of keeps our employees staying put.
How many employees do you have?
During busy season, we'll have anywhere upwards of 25 to 30 employees at any given time. A lot of part-time. Obviously, weekends are our busiest time, Saturdays in particular. So that's generally when summertime, spring to summer, is going to be our busiest time of year. We'll have the most staff.
And Ernie, you have a situation where you've got like almost two different companies. You've got the farm and you've got the restaurant. Are they the same people? Do you interchange them?
So we do have some crossover. For example, I have my primary farmer right now is also a server. Sometimes I'll have a line cook who also works at the farm, or my dishwasher. He likes to pick up extra shifts, so we'll bring him out for a day at the farm to, you know, do some weeding or mowing or, you know, things of that nature.
And Tyler, is there a guide that goes with you?
There are, yeah. So each tour is going to have two separate guides that are going to take you completely through the course. So the course itself is automated in the sense that the guides are going to put you on, they'll take you off, and they're with you for every step of the way. Aside from that, gravity and our braking system is going to do everything else for you. So the guides will go through that. They have, you know, obviously each one has their own flair. They're going to have their own jokes, their own talking points. They'll go through and teach you a little bit about the ecosystem and also a little bit about the history of the area.
Now, Tyler, you seem like a very smart young man, but you have terrible timing, right? We're ready to go for COVID, and then Hurricane Ida, as far as I know, kind of went right over you. That was the eye of the storm.
It was. Laplace took it right in the mouth. But, yeah, timing-wise, it was pretty difficult. I think we rolled through COVID into Ida and then now inflation. So it's been a difficult go, but we're still here.
I'm going to keep an eye on your next adventure. But it's all working out, right?
It's all working out, absolutely. And we're steadily busy, and we're ziplining through the swamp.
Ernie, you went to law school, right?
Yes.
That seems like a big jump. The only thing I can think of is in law school, one of the things you learn to do is you get really good at research. Is that the connection?
Yeah. So I was working at a restaurant in Boston called Jasper's, and I was explaining to my chef that my long-term goals was to open a restaurant with an always-changing menu, and this is back in like the early 2000s, and really there were none of those restaurants at that time. And I told him I was thinking of more education, whether it was culinary school or law school or business school, because I saw a lot of great restaurants go out of business because they didn't understand the business side of it. And he advised me. He said, if you want to have an unusual restaurant, you're not going to want to have a lawyer or a doctor as your investor. You want to be your own investor. If you could go be a lawyer, to be a catering chef, you know, in the meantime while you're in school, and then eventually you can open your own restaurant and be your own investor. And that's really what I did.
You know, because they teach at a business school, I would have suggested MBA. But I have a vested interest in that. I'm glad that all worked out. Is there anything, we always like to combine the guests, is there anything you guys have in common? Ernie, is there anything that Tyler is flying over that would interest you in the swamp?
Yes, actually. So our farm is on the swamp, too. We're at the end of a bayou, and the property, it's a five-acre property. It was built to be a marina, and so it looks like a lake, but it opens up to the Pearl River into the Gulf. So we have duckweed that grows in the bayou, which I'm sure you have that you fly over.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So one day I saw the beautiful duckweed that was blooming, and I grabbed some of it and I tasted it because that's what I do. And it tasted really interesting and kind of like oceany. So I decided to start to ferment it. So now I'm in the process of making soy sauce and misos out of duckweed.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with Ernie Foundas from the Bywater restaurant Sui Generis and Tyler Richardson from Zip Nola, the world's first and only totally aquatic zip line through the swamp near LaPlace. We'll continue our conversation when we come right back from this break.
Out to Lunch is brought to you by Basics Underneath. Fine lingerie, personalized fitting, curated swimsuits and workout wear. Uptown on Magazine Street and at basicsunderneath.com. And by Infinite Health Integrative Medicine Center, specializing in longevity, health optimization, and regenerative medicine. More information at yourinfinitehealth.com. And by Tracy Moore, broker, realtor, and partner at Rev Realtors, offering over 20 years of experience representing buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn more at tracy.revrealtors.com.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I'm talking with Ernie Foundas from the Bywater restaurant Sui Generis and Tyler Richardson from Zip Nola, the world's first and only totally aquatic zip line through the swamp near LaPlace. But I have to ask Tyler, why are alligators attracted to marshmallows? Just doesn't seem right.
I'm assuming it's just because they float and they're white. I used to give swamp tours, and I guess the way we kind of reconciled the two is that during the springtime when all of the heron chicks are hatching, a lot of them, well, some of them might fall into the water and become prey for the alligators. So that's kind of how we associated the two, the marshmallows and the alligators. But it's a little known fact that marshmallows actually come from the mallow plant, which is native to South Louisiana. So that's when the first marshmallows were kind of derived.
You know, might have been good taste. Who knows?
Yeah, could have
been. Also, we have alligators are a big attraction at our farm too. So when our guests come and we do food experiences, we do a farm tour.
Right.
And I have several alligators that we've named, like Moai and Motu, which are South Pacific names. And so I'll call them over and the guests love it. So we have a little mini swamp experience with all of our food experiences out there too.
That's great. Yeah. We have several resident alligators as well. So we also have names for all of them. So it's also pretty good experience.
They can be almost like dogs. Like they follow me around the farm. It's very odd.
Oh, absolutely. Probably for separate reasons, you know?
Yeah.
So this would come under don't try this at home, I think. But right. It's now, Ernie, you've got such a unique format for the restaurant. What you're growing over in Pearlington, it's for your restaurant, but do you sell it to other restaurants as well?
So that's more in the future because of the scale that we grow at right now. The plan is to be able to have edible garnishes like edible flowers and then other items that are unusual to give to other restaurants or to sell to other restaurants. I know a lot of chefs, so you know I have a good market for it, and they ask me all the time for it. But yeah, as of now, we supply our own restaurant. Then we have what we have extra, we tend to pickle and ferment.
And Tyler, I'm trying to figure out how you get people to know about this. I mean, everybody knows about the Swamp Tour, but you're trying to push them out. I mean, is it online, or do you have to kind of meet all the hotel concierges? What do you do?
I think social media is really important for us. That's really kind of how we've been able to reach the masses. You know, obviously Facebook, Instagram, and recently TikTok have been extremely influential in our business, as I'm assuming it probably is for y'all as well, kind of keeping people kind of apprised on what the new menu is and everything, and probably generating some interest that way. But yeah, I would say social media has probably been the biggest driver of our business outside of news coverage, and then third parties. Concierge, not as big as it used to be in the city. You know, usually used to rely on concierge to drive business for Swamp Tours and that sort of stuff. But now if you're walking down the street or driving down the street, it's kind of hard to see somebody who's not looking at their phone. So it's a little bit easier to target them through their social media.
Tyler, the other thing I was thinking about is obviously you've got a lot of liability and you probably have insurance for all that, but do you lease the land or did you buy the land? Which way?
Yeah, so we actually own the land. We've got roughly 80 acres right there in the Maurepas Swamp. The footprint of the course itself is about 8 acres. But yeah, we own it. We purchased it from a family who's had it in their family for generations. So we only needed 8 acres, but you're trying to kind of incentivize somebody to sell. You're like, I guess I'll take 80.
Ernie, how did you get to learn about the German farming technique? Is that pretty well known, or is it your law school research abilities?
Yeah, I mean, research is sort of my specialty, but yeah, it's through a combination of research and then the good farmers that I've worked with over the last 6 years that we've had the farm. So yeah, hugelkultur is what it's called. And so it's how you build mounds. And it's basically the process of recreating the forest floor by using logs, twigs, leaves in like a lasagna sort of style mound. And then all the microbes start to get activated and it creates really beautiful soil that grows great plants.
It's pretty interesting that you're using that technique, and I guess we can kind of create a link between the two businesses. So we're built right on the edge of Lake Pontchartrain in the old town of Frenier, which was Schlosserville at one point, and it was a German community over there. And basically how they survived was for farming. The railroad that runs between, right on the edge of our property, used to come and collect all of the German products and take it down to the French Quarter for the French market. So the road that we're on is Pivon Road, and that's where they had all of their pivons. And they would collect and they would send it to the French market and all the way up to Chicago.
One of the things that makes it even more interesting is the land you're on, isn't it kind of where it's kind of the state center for voodoo?
There is, yeah. There's a lot of folklore back there. We have a little tidbit on the website. You can get into it, but we had a voodoo priestess out there. Tons. I don't want to ruin the tour for anybody if they go, so they kind of touch base on all of that.
Do you try to find people beyond New Orleans, Baton Rouge and Lafayette? Actually, both of you, so start with Ernie. How do you do that? You're trying to get people from, some sort of area, maybe use a protractor or something. How do you do it?
Well, yeah, so similar to Tyler, we sort of built it from the ground out, you know. So we started in the neighborhood, word of mouth, but more recently we've been lucky that I've had a lot of sort of radio and TV spots in Biloxi and Jackson and New Orleans. So now we're starting to reach a broader audience. And so like we're really going after not only New Orleans, but the Biloxi to Waveland type of marketplace, because there's really not a lot of unusual food experiences out there. So they can come to the farm and do it's a cooking class, learn how to ferment and then get a farm tour and like a 6 or 8 course chef tasting dinner. So it's an unusual thing that we're trying to access that group of people.
You're getting somewhere? I mean, do you think that'll be a part of your business. I mean, you obviously have to charge for that, no?
Oh, yeah. Well, we do. We charge for, you know, the food experience. And people can book it right through. We have the Tiki Food Lab website. But yeah, we've recently, it's actually interesting because for the first round, we do our experiences schedule in the fall and the winter, and then some in the summer. We do kiddie pool brunches in the summer, which is great. But at first, we just started having our regulars from the restaurant. But more recently, we've had other people that have never been to the restaurant come out to the food lab for a dinner. And then they're like, oh, I need to come check out your restaurant, which is really great for us.
Tyler, maybe you had this in your fishing charter business as well, but if the tourists are in the French Quarter, how do you get them out to Laplace?
Well, Uber and Lyft has made that pretty easily. Also, we partner with the Swamp Tour right down the street, Cajun Pride, and they actually have buses that take people to and from for an additional charge. So transportation really hasn't been an issue. Generally, though, Uber and Lyft, we do kind of exhaust all of the Uber and Lyfts in Laplace on the way home pretty quickly. So it's definitely recommended to get the bus transportation for sure.
And are there other, maybe offshoots of the zip line that you think about?
As far as like additional businesses,
yeah,
or
maybe just tied to it, something else you could do with now that you got them there.
Like
yeah.
Maybe kayaking or something?
Yeah, so there's tons of stuff to do out there. There are kayak swamp tours, as Ernie mentioned. There's also Cajun Pride, which is down the street. They do pontoon boats. Right down the street is also Frenier Landing, which is a restaurant right on the Lake Pontchartrain. So there's a good bit to do out there. You can also shoot across the river and go hit the plantations. So you can certainly make a day of it, for sure.
So you mentioned them as other things you can do in the area, but you're not owning any of that?
No, we don't have any plans for expansion of our own right there at the moment. We are currently expanding on the North Shore, so we're building a aerial adventure course over there, which is going to be more children friendly. It's pretty much just an obstacle course that's going to be built through the trees. So we've got a beautiful piece of property right on the Boca Flyer River next to Chimes on the North Shore that we're going to be building on. It's going to be really neat, very unique. There's nothing really like it.
Ernie, I was thinking about this as we're getting ready for the show, is if you do scale up and you do sell to restaurants, is that sort of giving away the secret sauce?
Well, yes and no. I mean, right now we pretty much have the best garnish in town. So yeah, then that means that other restaurants would have as good garnish as we do. But part of it is also what we do to the ingredients, because we don't just use the great ingredients. We layer it with flavors that include different aspects of fermentation, because it's like, for me, it's really the science of flavor that I go after. So we use a lot of really unusual techniques to achieve that. And so I have ferments, misos that have been going for years that actually, they just get better over time. So, you know, I don't really worry about that. I'd rather just share some of the beauty with other restaurants.
Ernie, another question is, whenever I think of the Bywater, I think of the conflict between gentrification and the way the Bywater was. Does the gentrification itself help your business?
It does. You know, gentrification, there's sort of different interpretations of it. Some people would say that like the Airbnbs is a form of gentrification because people are buying the buildings and bringing in people from out of town. So then that's not as good in general, but you know, they still come to the restaurant, but we prefer locals. So when we have people that live in the neighborhood, they come to eat regularly, and that's better for us. And you probably have a similar experience. I mean, what's your percentage of locals versus tourists for this one?
We're pretty heavy on tourists, so I would say we're probably somewhere in the realm of 90% tourists. So they drive our business really, really heavily. Locals, not so much. I guess it's just one of those activities that you generally do while you're on vacation. It's a little bit more on the expensive side if you're kind of looking for a date night with, you know, your significant other. It might be a little too expensive, but in general, yeah, mostly tourists.
Yeah, we're kind of the opposite. We're mostly neighborhood people, and then that's, you know, like French Quarter through Bywater, and then we get, like, we actually joke about it. We say we get more famous, like internationally famous people than uptown people at the restaurant, and then we have maybe 15% tourists, so that's good. We don't slow down as much in the summertime.
Tyler, but word of mouth has got to be just a real, real boon for your business, right? I mean, people come down here and everybody's talking about, I ate at this restaurant and such, but you could really liven up the conversation by saying, had a zip line tour through the swamp, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Word of mouth's been critical for us. We also incentivize all of our customers to share their experiences on social media as well. So word of mouth has been huge. We generated a ton of business from it. Absolutely.
Now you've got me thinking of zip line through the swamp as a first date. That could go either way.
Oh, it's a great time. It really is.
Okay, I don't know if you can guarantee that that's a good date, but that's asking a...
No guarantee of a second date.
That's right. What is it they say in mutual funds at the end? Your results may differ. So, right.
Absolutely. I guess it would depend on if she or he was an adventurous type.
Exactly.
So.
It's the same thing with my restaurant, too, because you have to be adventurous to come to my restaurant, pretty much.
That's right. That's right.
Similar.
It could go either way, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's the connection.
There you go.
I knew there was one here.
Outside the box.
Right.
New Orleans is not a big city. It's not unusual to run into someone you know at the drugstore or discover your neighbor went to school with your coworker. And that way, New Orleans has a kind of small town feel. And then you discover things are going on here you had no idea about, like a zip line out in La Place or an avant-garde restaurant in the Bywater. Zip NOLA is a departure from the typical tourist trek around the French Quarter, and Sui Generis is a departure from the established eateries locals typically gravitate to. Tyler and Ernie, thanks for making New Orleans a more colorful and interesting place to visit and live in. And thank you so much for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
I appreciate you having us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Tyler Richardson, founder and co-owner of Zip NOLA, and Ernie Foundas, the founder and executive chef at Sui Generis. We edited the show to fit into the time slot here on WWNO. You can hear our unedited conversations and find out more about Tyler's zip line and Ernie's restaurant by listening to the Out to Lunch podcast. You can find and subscribe to the Out to Lunch podcast on your podcast app and on our website, itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we all look like, you can find photos from the show on itsneworleans.com and on our Out to Lunch social media. These photos were taken today by Jill LaFleur. You can find more of Jill's photos at LaFleurPhoto.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Amy Irvin. I'm Peter Ricciuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the lunch table for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch was recorded live over lunch at the NOLA Brewing Tap Room, 3001 Chapatula Street, open 7 days a week. NOLA Brewing Tap Room has a wide variety of craft beers and authentic hand-tossed New York-style city pizza by NOLA Pizza. More information is at nolabrewing.com. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Tulane SOPA, the Tulane School of Professional Advancement, offering online programs designed for working professionals who want to earn a certificate, complete their degree, or begin their graduate studies. Professional advancement begins at sopa.tulane.edu. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at mitchellforeman.com. If you'd like to be part of Out to Lunch, to learn how your business or organization can become an Out to Lunch program partner, email info@inobroadcasting.com.